Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 471, Endure to the End. Pastor Karen Coulterman delivered this Mother's Day message on Sunday, May 10th, 2026 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Praise God. I want to wish all of you mothers, spiritual, adoptive, natural mothers, happy Mother's Day. It's an honor to have all of you here today and to minister to you. And I thank you, Elizabeth, because I love to encourage moms. I love to exhort them, to just lift them up and strengthen them, because the role of a mother is so very important. The role of a mother who is born again is even more important, to raise up a godly family, to serve God, to take others to Jesus, to heaven with them. But that's not what he wants me to do today. So Elizabeth, thank you for really pouring out your heart to these people on Mother's Day and blessing them especially. Pastor Sarah asked me to minister today to you. And to do that, I just want to explain, because not everybody knows how I got here. When we were leaving Dr. Sumrall's ministry, he sent us here to Fort Wayne. And I think it was only a week before we moved here to Fort Wayne, but I started thinking about it. And I thought, oh, wow, I know what work it is to be in the ministry. I know how difficult it is. I was close to the ministry at Dr. Sumrall's in South Bend, and I knew the challenges that came against that ministry. And I thought, I really don't want to be a part of this. And so I knew it was God's will to come to Fort Wayne, but I thought, oh, wow, you know, this is kind of tetrifying to me. And so friends of ours who were in the ministry in Michigan told us they were having the apostle over their church, and he was over a lot of churches, and he had a very strong prophetic voice also. He was going to be ministering that night. We would, you know, would you please come? And we said, oh, yeah, that would be helpful. And so we went, and he ministered. And then after he got done preaching, he prayed over people. And this couple took us up to the altar and explained to him what we were about to do. And so he prayed over us, and he prayed over Pastor Harley. And I think that was one of the times Pastor Harley went flying out. But I was still standing there. And when he got to me, he just laid hands on my head and said, ho, ho, ho. And I thought, oh, no, this is no laughing matter. This is serious business I'm getting into. And he just laughed, and he said, Mother in Zion. Praise God. I knew what a mother was. And the peace of God that came upon me was so wonderful, because we had three children, all teenagers at that time. Our oldest daughter was already in Sweden going to Bible school. Our second daughter was just finishing up school, and our son was finishing up a year later than her. And I homeschooled them, and I loved the whole thing. I loved being a mother. I loved the relationship I had with them. They were wonderful children, mostly because of God, not me. But it was just a wonderful time in the Lord. And I knew how to be a mom. And so I just praise God that he showed me that's what I would be doing when we moved to Fort Wayne. So mothers are very special. And as Elizabeth's poem was, and as all of us know, a mother's love is unconditional. And when we came to Fort Wayne and started pastoring, raised up a church and started pastoring, that supernatural love, unconditional love, God just poured into me to pour out upon everyone else. It was wonderful. And I could see him working through me as a mom. And, you know, loving unconditionally. It didn't matter who it was. They could be the ugliest person, the nastiest person, the, you know, just we had some people like that. But I loved him unconditionally because of his love flowing through me, a mother's love flowing through me for them. And so I'm so honored to be here with all of you mothers, because he wants that to flow through you too, that unconditional love. And I know it does. And I know Rivka just mentioned before, you know, don't come against a mama with her child. We become bears real fast. And that's how I feel about you. No one, no way, no enemy can come against you without me raising up in prayer over you. God is so good, and a role of a mom is so important. She loves unconditionally. She protects from what's out there. And now, as a Christian mom, you know, she sees what's going on in the world against her children being trained up in the way they should go, and so it's a really important task to train up your children in the way they should go. And when they're old, they'll not depart from it. What a special promise to moms. And she provides for her children unconditionally, sacrificially. So many single moms are trying to provide what they need for their children. And she doesn't stop, no matter how difficult it gets. She corrects her children. She warns her children. And the role of a mom, the whole idea in doing all this, and there's so many other things that she does with and for her children. But the whole concept is she wants her children to grow up so that when they're 40, they're not still depending on her for everything. They're not saying, "Mom, Mom, help." But as a Christian mom, she wants them to grow up so that God is their source for everything. That they don't come running to her for every little thing, but that they learn that they go directly to God, and He is the one who provides for them, who loves them unconditionally, who protects them, who does everything that she tried to do when they were little, and so much more. And that's what I want to speak to you all today on. That's the heart of the Father for each one of you. He wants each of you to know how very dearly He loves you. So much more than I could ever, you know, as a spiritual mother. God loves you. Each and every one of you. No matter what kind of personality you have, no matter how the world sees you, God sees you as His special child. So, what He wants me to share with you as His special children today is a warning, because He wants you to have your eyes wide open, your spiritual eyes wide open to the days, the times that we're living in now. He wants you to know the days are evil. He wants you to know how to stand firm through these days. And to do that, you need to grow up, grow into all that He created each one of you to be and then to do, and to endure through all the trials that come against you, because the days are evil, to endure to the end in victory with strength. That's His desire for each one of you. He loves you so much. He knows what's happening. The end of time is here. The end days. Dr. Summerall used to always say, when he was in Jerusalem one time in a hotel, he had taken a tour group over to Israel, and he was very busy, and God woke him up at 10 till 12 midnight. And he was kind of complaining, you know. And And God said, this is the time it is, 10 till midnight. And he said, my people sing about my coming back. My people talk about it. My people preach about my coming back. But my people live like I'm never coming back. He doesn't want that for you. He wants you to live prepared for him to come back, strong, strong in faith, that while he hasn't come back yet, you're doing what he's asking you to do, and you're doing it without wavering, without pulling back, without getting all tied up in the things of the world, without getting worried, without stressing out, without getting weary. He wants you to be strong and to do what he's called you to do while he hasn't come back yet. He has great mercy. He wants to see as many people as can be go to heaven before he comes back, or when he comes back. And so he wants you to know that he loves you dearly, and that he wants you to endure to the end in great strength, not quit halfway in between. When Jesus, I just want to look at this to make sure I get everything. From Matthew 28, I guess I won't. From Matthew 28, he said that when the disciples asked him, what are the signs of when the end is here? And the first thing he said was, take heed that you be not deceived. And then he went on and said, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Do we see that today? Oh, yeah. There'll be, the kingdom will rise against kingdom. Nation will come against nation. And then he said, but don't get worried about that. Don't be troubled about that. And then he said, there'll be earthquakes in various places and troublesome times. The earth is groaning because, you know, it's groaning for God. There'll be pestilences and epidemics. And we see all of that today. But we're not to be troubled. He wants us to be strong in him. I when I was preparing this message, I saw all of you as these strong columns made out of something very strong, sturdy columns that don't get swayed with every challenge that comes against it, that don't break, that don't fall, that don't move, but columns that are firmly planted and stay put and are solid and firm. That's how I see you, with hearts of, you know, very soft hearts towards God, but I see you as these strong columns, so that nothing that the earth is trying to pull against you, nothing that Satan tries to bring against you can defeat you, but you're strong in him. And the first admonition that he gave his disciples was, take heed that you be not deceived. That is so important. I often hear people say, well, I don't know what to do next. I'm not sure about what path is right and what's wrong. And Jesus said in Matthew 24 that there would be many people who came pretending to be like Jesus. There'll be many who come that do signs and wonders, miracles, and it'll look fantastic, but they're not of God. And we have to know the difference. We have to know, because God wants us to be strong and do what he's asked each of us individually to do. He doesn't want us to be torn. He doesn't want us to be in confusion all the time. He doesn't want us misled by those who want to deceive us. He wants the strength in us to be able to say, oh, yeah, I hear your voice clearly. The voice of a stranger, I'm not listening to. I'm not following. And so today, first of all, I'd like to read Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 7 just to 10, it says, again, be not deceived. For the one who sows to his own flesh, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. So, if we don't want to be deceived, we need to know what to do instead. We need to sow to the right place. God's not mocked. He knows. He knows which direction to take us. He knows the devices that Satan uses against us. They're not new. They're the same ever since Satan was on earth. He uses the same temptations, the same way of doing things, because they work. You know, when we're not on top of it, his temptations, his lies work. And God knows that. He knows how evil Satan is, how destructive Satan is, how Satan hates each and every one of us and wants to destroy us. God's not mocked. So he tells us to sow to his own, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. And we know that. We know, you know, in offerings we talk about the farmer, if he wants corn, he's going to sow corn in the ground to reap a harvest of corn. So what we sow now, we will reap later. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. This is so important because we live in a fallen world, and you don't have to do anything to have a barrage of incoming temptations. And so much is geared towards our flesh, satisfying our own flesh. You know, there's always encouragement to be the best you can be. Help yourself. Strengthen yourself. You know, do something for yourself. Or, you know, beautiful, beautiful clothes, or very nice, steady, firm men's clothes that make you, you know, really, you can go hunting in without getting wet or whatever. but it appeals to your flesh. And so often people want power. You know, I want to be on top of this. I need some power, you know, gimme, 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 me, me, me. So deceptive. Because when we're born again, we're supposed to let that drop off or push it away. Because it says here, if you sow to the flesh will go back into the earth when we leave our body, when we die, when we go in the rapture. This coat of flesh will be destroyed, corrupted. It's corruptive. And so if we sow to it, it's not going anywhere. It's staying here on earth, and it's corrupting us, corrupting the strength of the spirit man within us. So we don't want our flesh to be a priority. We don't want to be self-centered, because we'll reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. When we are born again, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us, to strengthen our spirit that's just been born again. We want our spirit man to grow, to be strengthened, to rise up over our fleshly desires, over what our worldly thoughts are. We want our spirit man to be in charge of us. But we can't do that without sowing to the Spirit. How do we do that? Well, let's look at Proverbs. That's a good instructor. When our children were little, we used to eat dinner with Proverbs, a chapter a day. We would chuckle over some ways that were, you know, kind of, you know, expressive, and we would repent over others, mostly repenting. But it's so important to understand that as a Christian, the textbook for life, the manual for life, is the Word of God. Jesus came in flesh. He was the Word of God, and he came in the flesh and lived here on earth so that he could experience what we experience without sinning. And he went to the cross and died. And when he rose again, he gave us victory over sin. But he went back to heaven. He sent his Holy Spirit to dwell on this earth, to dwell in us, and to teach us and to encourage us, to explain the word to us. But it's the Word of God now in written form that represent the will of the Father, that represent the love of the Father to us, that gives us all the promises and all the to-dos and not to-dos. It's the written word. We talked yesterday about the difference, you know, how important it is that we have both the Spirit and the Word, and balancing each other out. Pastor Harley was just at a conference last week, and he said it was one of the best conferences he's ever been at. And that's fantastic. That built him up. It, you know, it restored things. It just encouraged him. But then now he's here. The same challenges, you know. We're born again. We're going to have challenges because the enemy knows his time is short, right? He can't stand that. He can't stand it that we're standing against him because we know who we are in God. And so those challenges will come against us. They'll never stop coming against us until Jesus returns. So when we're not in those moving moments, those strong spiritual outpourings, when we're not in those on a daily basis, like when you go to conferences, when there's an outpouring, which is happening now, and I believe will grow much stronger, but still, it's not going to be every minute of every day, in every place, at one time, for us, all the time. We need to continue to be strong, irregardless, and the only way we can is to be in His Word. We have to be determined, not pull back, not say, oh, that's so boring. I just don't have time today to get in the Word of God. No, we have to see the Word as life to our flesh. Healing for us. It says that in Proverbs. But it's so important that we spend time in His Word. So from Proverbs 2, this is what it says, starting with verse 1. Says, my son or daughter, If you will receive my words, we need to receive them first and foremost. Tuesday night, Tim brought up, you know, he said, all you have to do is ask, do you believe in the Bible? And so many people will say, well, parts of it. No, the whole Bible, the whole Bible. We need to believe in the whole Bible because that's his will, collectively his will for us. We need to take it in and live it. Hide it. Hide my commandments within you. Those commandments, not just, you know, the basic Ten Commandments, but his instruction to us, the instruction of the Lord. There's a difference between instructions that we get to work in a world company, to live out there in the world. Those are worldly instructions. They could be very good for us, but the instructions that we take and put in our hearts, mull over, meditate upon, and live out are the Word of God kind of instructions. He gives us those. Hide them in your heart so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. If you cry out for knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her wisdom as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, the Word of God is so wonderful, so fulfilling. We should see it as a hidden treasure. You know, if you know there's a treasure that's been hidden for you, you're going to start looking all over the place. You're just uncovering things and just really intense upon finding that treasure. That's how we should seek God's wisdom. We should see it as a treasure. A priceless metal or a priceless jewel or gem, silver. We should seek wisdom as we would a beautiful, beautiful necklace or something. Seek wisdom from God. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. The fear of the Lord, the reverence, the importance of reverencing the Lord. He is on the throne. He is everything that we've ever needed. The Lord. We need to fear him. We need to honor him, revere him first and foremost. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the creator of all things. He created you and I. He formed us into all that we are. He's all power, all knowing. We need to reverence him. And as we get in this word and study this word, meditating on this word, we will understand how important it is to fear and honor him, putting him first place. You know, when you're trying to make a decision, you're trying not to be deceived. You're saying, God, I don't know. I don't know if this is your voice speaking to me or not. Spend time in the Word and you'll get wisdom. You'll get knowledge. You'll start to understand, oh, this is from you. That's not. That's different. That's the enemy. That's a stranger. But the only way you'll do that is by spending time in his Word. The Word of God is so important, and he wants each and every one of you to understand that. He wants to build you up in His word. He wants to encourage you today that He loves you and He has everything you ever needed right here in His word for you. So before seeking out there wisdom, knowledge, before running to worldly counselors, psychologists, psychoanalysts, whatever, go to Him. Because that's when you're grown up. That's what a mother is doing with her child. She's saying, come on, grow up. Don't keep coming back to me because I won't always be here for you. You need to grow up and grow into, through the Word of God, all that He created you to be. So this word is key to helping you make the right godly decisions, because the more your relationship with the Lord comes closer and closer, that's His desire, to be as close as possible to each and every one of you. Yes, He loves you as a group, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes, but each and every one of you, He wants for you to grow into such a close relationship. You'll know that you are precious to Him, that He's watching over you, that nothing will change you. Nothing. He never changes. He's always the same. His word is like that. It's always the same. It's a firm foundation. It will never mislead you. It will never change. This world that we live in is constantly fluctuating, right? But God's word, God Himself, never changes. Firm foundation for you. Verse 6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom. Out of His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom. Solid, sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. You don't need to be troubled. He said, you know, in the end times, don't be troubled when you hear of wars and rumors of wars. He's our shield, and He leads us on a straight path. He keeps the paths of justice and preserves the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and judgment and equity and every good path. You'll understand which path to take. You'll no longer be confused as you fill yourself up in His word, in His will, seeking Him first and foremost, crying out for wisdom, seeing it as the all-important goal, His wisdom, His word. And He'll share that wisdom with you in every situation. And that column that I saw each one of you as, it'll fill up. It won't be a hollow column and just look nice on the outside. It will be filled up with solid, sound wisdom that can't, it just adds to that column being so strong that you can't pull it over, you can't break it. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Knowing, discerning the difference between someone who comes as a wolf in sheep's clothing, which we, in these times we're going to see more and more of that. That's why God wants you so strong and firm in His word, that you know the difference. You know when it's somebody who comes against you pretending to be another sheep, another follower of Jesus, pretending that they're of God, but they're not. You'll know because you're filled with His word, filled with His wisdom, and you understand, whoa, this is not for me. And you turn a different way. So you'll have discretion. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of the evil man. And I think that's all I'll share out of that proverb. But it's so important that you grasp what God wants for you today. He doesn't want you shaken. He doesn't want you scared. He doesn't want you terrified of the days that we live in. He wants you to see them as a challenge. He wants you to be awake to the fact that, yeah, there's a lot of evil out there. But because of who I am, the strength that I have, the word of God alive and active within me, I can go into the world and do what God has called me to do. I can win that lost person that lives next to me, that sister or brother, mother, father, son, daughter. I can win them to the Lord. I can pray for them without getting all discouraged when I see with my natural eyes them going the wrong way, saying the wrong things, doing the wrong things. I can overcome that with my prayers, with His word, speaking His word over that person, and I can see my prayers answered. And I'm going in that challenge because I'm not afraid. Yeah, there's wars and rumors of wars, but He said, do this, and I'm doing it because I'm His daughter. I'm His son. I'm filled with His spirit that encourages me every day, strengthens me every day. And once we are built up, grown into all that He has for us, and individually, Dr. Summerall used to talk about it. He said, you can't have leaning faith. In other words, each and every one of you need to make the right choice. You have a choice, you know, you can pull back. You can say, I just am done fighting. I'm so sick of fighting. I don't want to fight anymore. I'm just going to lay down, you know, but Satan never stops. He doesn't quit. He doesn't take a break, and he knows his time is short. And so he's working extra hard to bring as many people as he can with him. Not that he loves them, not that he wants them. He just wants to prove to God that he can steal you from him. But we have to make that choice ourselves. We're not going that way. We're going to stand strong in Jesus. So the next part of what I want to encourage you in, it says from verse 10 in chapter 6 of Galatians, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We can only do good to other people when we're strong in the Lord, when we have His word guiding us, His help leading us. On our own, we will become very weary. We will just eventually pull back and go backwards. But with His help, we will do good to others, and we will do good to one another. I don't usually speak up here. I really don't like this too much. Rivka has tried to help me with that in our prayer workshop to be intentional, yes, so that you can hear me intentionally. Because you know what? I am your spiritual mother. I'm 76, and I think that gives me the opportunity to say, you know, the commandment that says, obey your mother and father in the Lord, and it comes with the promise of long life, and it will be well with you. So I encourage you to obey me. Yeah. So. Yeah, aren't I though? You're blessed. I can tell you stories about my own family. But he gives us as I was going with that I don't usually come up here anymore because I have such a grateful heart to God. He has brought in. He has developed in so many of you. Just to me, it overwhelms me how good God has been to develop within so many of you what he needs in order to pour out to the rest of you. And I just sit back and go, God, you're so good. You know, you love me so much that you've developed the strength and the pursuit of preaching and, you know, how to pour out upon others. You saw what I've been praying for. You saw what Fort Wayne needs and this world needs. You saw, and you're bringing them in. And so I just am so grateful to God for that. He wants this body to be so strong and united. But before this body can be that, each and every one of you need to grow into him. That when you're in trouble in the middle of the week with no one around, you know instantly that he has the answer, that he is the answer. And that's my desire for you. That you grow into all that he has for you and are able to endure to the end in great strength. And then with that in mind, you know, as you grow into him, you know, some of you are old in the Lord. Some of you are just babies in Jesus, which is wonderful. And this is what develops in you. The Holy Spirit has fruit for all of you. And as we continue to grow into his word, the fruit within us is developed. And it's the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's developing in each of us, his love. Joy, peace, patience. And patience is really good. It is a weapon that works for us. So often we feel like, ugh, patience. I'm not going to ask for patience. But patience is a defense that we have. Because when we don't see the answer immediately, we tend to go, where is it? You didn't answer me, God. But you know what? God's not bound by time. We are. God's not. We are bound by years, months, weeks, days, hours, minutes. We live in this world, and this world operates on time. But God doesn't. So we need to know and understand that when we cry out for something, he's answered it. It just may take time to get to us. It may be fought by the devil. And his angels might have to do warfare before it comes to us, just like it did with Daniel. But patience works on our behalf. When we're patient, we don't get in turmoil. We don't get all stressed out because we don't see with our eyes or feel with our flesh the answer just yet. But we patiently continue to be strong in his word. We patiently do what he's telling us to do. And ultimately, that answer belongs to us. The healing belongs to us. We're living in it. The wisdom, the job, the whatever it is that we've prayed for, ultimately it's ours. It just might have taken a little time that we're bound by, but God's not. But through patience, we have victory. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passion and lusts. Again, it's so important. You know, we've seen so many times people who have immigrated to America because where they've come from has been just horrible. And they leave family behind in that country and come to America and determine, I'm going to make money and I'm going to send it back home so that they are equipped also to eventually come to America. But, you know, at least they'll have food right now and maybe a place to live. But once they get to America, they start to see, wow, if I have two jobs instead of just one, I'll have even more money. Oh, wow, look at that car. Oh, I could use a car instead of walking like I have all my life. And those clothes are so nice. You know, starting to really sow to the flesh, to get caught up in the things of the flesh. And so many work at least two jobs and maybe even three, because they want more and more. They send more and more home. But, oh, I don't really have time to go to that Bible study or Sundays. No, I work on Sundays. I don't have time to go to church. It's not, you know, I'll go next Sunday if I can get off. Things like that. Just more and more of what sows to the flesh and corruption. And less and less of feeding our spirit man. So it's, you need, and it's not easy sometimes, you know. You may go without a lot of things, material things, if you're crucifying the flesh. But it's important. The days that we live in are short. The time that Jesus is coming back is soon. And he's telling each of us today, be serious. Know the days, the times we live in. Take me, the Lord, seriously. Don't get caught up in doing everything else that may feel good for you, but doesn't sow to the Spirit, doesn't sow to eternity. Understand that I am coming back soon. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, and envying one another. Don't be self-centered. Be outward-centered. Understand that as we come together, as we're strong individually, God has called each and every one of us here to my Father's house, family of God, for a reason, for a purpose. God has a design on this place. He has a purpose for my Father's house, family. You know, you could think of the Smith family. Well, this is the my Father's house family, family of God. He has a reason each and every one of you have come here. And he wants each and every one of you as strong, godly children of his to unite together, recognizing that he created each of you differently, with different interests, with different abilities, with different callings and giftings. But Jesus is the head and we are the body. So each of us need to do and build up that part that he's put in us to do. And when we come together in strength, then nothing can stop us. But if we get self-centered, that puts a hole right in the middle, and the enemy knows. He knows, and he's going to try and destroy, bring destruction. He's going to try and stop the work that God called this body to. He's going to try to destroy what he's called my Father's house to do. Bring healing to the nation, to the city, to win the lost for him and raise them up as disciples of his, raising them up, growing them up into his, him. That's what we're called to do. But we need to do it in a united way. We need to be sensitive to one another. You know, this part where it says not provoking one another, it's like a child that knows exactly what button to push. When Anna was growing up, she's our middle daughter. She's as sweet as can be. But if we were driving somewhere, she'd always make sure she sat out of his reach. But she knew exactly what button to push Christina with and what button to push on Jeremiah. And the two of them, she would pull out as soon as they got riled up. She would just move away. And Jeremiah usually was the one who was closest to his reach. And he'd reach over and say, "Stop now." And Jeremiah was, "Ouch." You know, but we know one another. Let's not push each other's buttons. Let's be sensitive to walking in love, unconditional love, so that we can encourage each other. Yes. Miss Love and Mercy back there. Oh, but he loves you so much. He wants you to be strong. And he says, grow up. Don't be self-centered. Don't just look at yourself all the time and say, how can I be better? How can I do this? How can I make more money? How can I, you know, please myself? Or, you know, we always laugh. There were places that we sat at Christian Center all the time. And if you sat in someone else's place, you heard about it. So you just, you know, grow up. Be the bigger person. You have the Spirit of God living in you. We need to be sensitive to one another. Always. If you see someone just not being themselves, pray and go to them and say, is there something you want me to help you with? Just understand that he has so much for each of you and so many plans for my Father's house and so little time to do it all in. He wants you to be prepared. He wants you to be sincere. He wants the best for you. And that's not going to come from the world. That's going to come from his Spirit, from his word to you. So let me pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you that you love these precious children so much. I thank you that you see each one of them. You know each one of them. You know their heart. You know their makeup. You know what you've put in them. You know their potential. And Lord, I just ask that you would reveal that to them as they take this word and they have a desire for more and more of this word so that they can become closer and closer individually with you. Not depending on one another, not depending on that strong spiritual leader, that strong spiritual leader in their family, but depending upon you for themselves, knowing that it's you who ultimately is their answer. their strength, their all in all. So, Lord, I ask you to encourage them today. Thank you for strengthening them. Thank you for your word to them, bringing understanding of your word into their lives. And, Lord, I thank you. I praise you that your desire, just as a mother's desire is, to see them, each of them, and all of us at my Father's house, grow up and grow into all that you've blessed us with, that you've called us to, in order that we can endure through whatever trials come our way, through whatever challenges come against us, whatever Satan has tried to come against us with, that we endure to the end with great strength, taking as many as possible with us when it's time to be in heaven, when you come back. And I praise you for that, Lord. I thank you for the people that are watching this. I thank you that they are purposing in their hearts to put you first and foremost, to get your word in them, to meditate on your word, to understand that the only way we will stand strong to the end is if we have your word alive in us and we live by faith, acting upon your word, living out your word. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.